Good morning.
It's to see you here.
You may notice we have a seat for a musician, and we're not sure what's happened, so our musician won't make it today. Barbara thinks mentioned it could be daylight savings, which makes a lot of sense. Which is going to be really awkward when he does show up. Without music, the service is going to be shorter. So by the time he arrives, we'll be gone. It's kind of still to an empty house. So, it's going to be awkward for us. It's going to be a little more awkward for him, I think. But it is good to have everyone here. We're glad that you're here today. You're going to be hearing a lot of me without any music in between. So here's your warning on that. But I am pleased to have everyone here. We're going to do a very familiar Bible story today that we're all pretty familiar with. It's found in a couple of places. I'm going to use the Gospel of John for this one. It comes from John 6, verses 1 through 14. And as always, I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, the updated edition of that. Hear now these words. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. And Jesus went up to the mountain and he sat down there with his disciples. Now, the Passover festival of the Jews was coming near. And when he looked up, he saw a large crowd coming towards him. And Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread for these people to eat? He said this, according to John, he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not even buy enough bread for each one of them just to get a little bit. Now, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people? And Jesus said, well, make the people sit down. Now, there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also he did with the fish as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told his disciples, gather up the fragments that are left over so that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. And when they saw, the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. May God blessing and understanding to the reading of those words. I also want to share from one of my favorite authors, Henry Nouwen, from his book, Bread for the Journey, who has this to say. The great illusion of our time is the illusion of scarcity. We are afraid that there is not enough love, enough food, enough friendship, enough peace. So we hoard what we have, afraid that if we share, there will not be enough left. But Jesus came to show us that in the house of God, there is abundance. When we give what we have in trust, it becomes much more than we ever imagined. My message today, I feel like I've hit this way too early. Like we should all just mingle amongst each other before we move on into this. My message today is entitled, What is this among so many? So there is this line in John's version of the feeding story that we just heard that always sort of makes me smile when I hear it. And it's Andrew looks at Jesus and says, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves, 2 fish, but what are they among so many? I kind of love the honesty that he chose there. What is this among so many people? It's the voice of realism speaking there. It's the voice of, it's the voice of math. It's the voice of responsible adults 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5,000 people. Let's not embarrass ourselves, and before we judge Andrew too quickly, let's admit something to each other here. We've all said some version of that line. We have. What is this among so many? What difference will this make? Is this really enough? Is this really something we should use? Shouldn't we just conserve? See, now John tells us the crowd is hungry. Disciples are like, let's just send them away. We'll send them away. That's sort of the safe option here. But send them somewhere else, even though that's what they want to do, you know, that just means let's let someone else deal with them. We don't have enough ourselves, so send them to someone else. Let them be someone else's problem. And Jesus says, no, you feed them. You feed them. Which feels almost irresponsible knowing the resources he has, but here's what I did notice. Jesus doesn't, you know, create something out of nothing. He starts with what's already there. He starts with what they do have. A boy, a lunch, small, ordinary, really not that impressive. And someone, we don't even know who first asked ultimately, according to the text, someone was willing to offer what the boy had. So, let's pause right there. I want us all to do something pretty simple. Just look at your own hands. Just take a moment and look at them. Those hands that you are looking at have held things. They have built things. They have given things. They maybe even have protected things. Now, if you're willing, then just, I'm going to ask you to use your imagination a little bit here. Cup those hands like you're holding, I don't know, something small. And imagine something. It's your call what it will be. Imagine something in them. It's not a number, not a balance sheet. Just something that you have had entrusted to you at some point. Something that feels maybe too small to matter. And hold that for just a moment. Now ask yourself quietly, do I see this thing in my life as enough? Or do I see it as not worth offering? And you can go ahead and lower your hands. Just something to begin us thinking about those pieces in our lives that have been entrusted to us that we sometimes don't see as enough. But you see, Andrew's question here isn't cynical. It's cautious. What is this among so many? You know, frequently, almost always, the scarcity argument always sounds wise. Scarcity says, be careful. Scarcity says, save it. Scarcity says, you might need it later. And let's be honest, there are moments when caution is very wise. But this story, well, the story's suggesting something different. The miracle doesn't begin with multiplication. It begins with what's essentially release. Someone lets go of what they have. Someone risks looking foolish. Someone puts what they have into Jesus' hands. And only then does this story begin to change. John tells us that Jesus takes the loaves, he blesses them, he gives thanks, and he distributes them. Now, I want us to think about that word, distributes. See, that food ends up moving. It doesn't stay in its place. It isn't stacked there. It doesn't stay protected in one basket. It moves through various hands. And somehow, movement leads to abundance. All right, we're going to do this intermingling thing again. I'm going to ask you to turn to one person near you. We're just going to take a minute on this. Just one person and answer this one sentence. Answer it with one sentence. Where in your life are you tempted to say, what is this among so many? Where in your life, what is it that you're tempted to say, this isn't enough? There's nothing I can do with this. It's not going to help. Where are you tempted to say that? Take a few minutes. It could be time that you're going to talk about. It could be energy that you're going to talk about, an idea, a community, whatever it is. Take a moment and think about that and share it in one sentence or so with the person next to you. I'll give you a minute. Go. Everyone is back. Most of their conversation, if you would. So that question that I had you ask each other, that question is bigger than just bread and fish. Because sometimes the greatest danger isn't that we really have too little. It's that we don't trust what we already have. John tells us that the people ate as much as they wanted. And after that, 12 baskets were gathered. Not because the disciples protected the lunch, but because someone offered it. It moved through hands. It wasn't kept in one space. It didn't stay in the basket. And I can't help but notice something else in this story. The boy who does this, who has the food, he never gets named. You know, he's not even credited for this. He doesn't even get reimbursed for it, essentially. He participates. And participation, I think, is part of the story. I mean, it's where the miracle comes from, ultimately, is those who weren't participating began to participate. And that's how we feed 5,000 people. Because this story isn't about some kind of divine catering event. It's about a community discovering that what they thought was insufficient was actually entrusted to them. Entrusted is a different word than owned. Keep that in mind. Entrusted means it passed through them. Entrusted means to move. Entrusted gives motion. Entrusted means we are stewards and not guardians. The disciples' instinct, you know, was to send people away. Let them go be someone else's problem. Jesus' instinct was to gather people in. The disciples saw a problem, and instead Jesus saw a possibility. The disciples ultimately saw limits, but Jesus saw participation and an opportunity to invite people into participation. And here's the quiet, somewhat uncomfortable truth. If that boy had kept his lunch closed, no one would have blamed him. If he had said, this isn't enough, everyone would have probably just nodded. If he had said, this isn't mine to give, I was given it by my parents, it wouldn't have sounded responsible. It would have sounded responsible of him. But he did it. He offered it. And offering it changed everything in this story. 5,000 people, it changed. Now, let's be clear. This story is not a command to be reckless with what we have. It's not a denial of real math. It's not an argument that every risk becomes holy. But it is a reminder that sometimes abundance only becomes visible when something begins to move. When what we're holding stops being something we protect and starts being something that we share. What is this among so many? Well, it depends. If it stays clenched, it's not much. If it moves, it might be everything. I wonder how often communities stand at the edge of possibility, asking Andrew's question, what is this among so many? What is this among the needs of the world? What is this among the size of the task in front of us? What is this among our fears? And I wonder how many times the invitation is simply this. Bring what you have. Bring what you have. Not what you wish you had. Not what someone else has. What you have. Because ultimately, in the stories of Jesus, we don't see him asking for anything more than that. He asks for our participation. And then John tells us something subtle in this story. Jesus knew what he was going to do. The disciples didn't. The boy didn't, but Jesus did. Sometimes we hesitate because we can't quite see the full picture. We sort of want guarantees. We want certainty. You know, who can blame us? We want a blueprint. And maybe, the first step is much smaller than any of that. Maybe the first step is simply letting what we have in our hands move. Maybe the miracle is not in the multiplication. Maybe the miracle is in the trust. And maybe the question is not, is it enough? Maybe the question is, will we offer it? Will we offer it? Because if we never release it, we'll never know. What is this among so many? In the hands of fear, it's not much. In the hands of love, well, it could be more than we can ever imagine. And the difference between those two, it isn't the amount. It is the willingness to let it move. It is the willingness to let it go. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Before the miracle in this story, before the baskets full and the stories told for centuries, there was just a boy with a lunch that didn't look like much. 5 loaves, 2 fish, a crowd too large for the math to make any sense. We recognize that moment. We have stood there too, holding something small in our hands and wondering if it mattered. We've called our hesitation wisdom. We have called our caution responsibility. We whispered Andrew's question more times than we can count. What is this among so many? And still, love keeps inviting us to share. Not asking for everything, not demanding perfection. Just asking us to notice what we already carry. So as we sit with this ancient story today, may we be reminded that miracles rarely begin with abundance. They begin when someone loosens their grip, when something small begins to move, when a community dares to trust that what has been entrusted to them was never meant to stay in their hands. May we become a people who bring what we have to the table. And may love do what love has always done. Turn small offerings into something that feeds the world. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk with each other and with creation in harmony, recognizing that we all are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may you share that love and happiness with all of those you meet.